From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carr with my BFF Keon and my friends, Pud Poet.
Hey.
I wasn't sure if we doxed you before, but I guess, I guess we haven't.
Probably. It's probably out there.
See if this camera's working.
Oh, it's working.
Look, she's right there.
Hey.
See, this is what she does the whole time. She just draws. How was your weekend, Jen?
Doodle.
My weekend?
Or your week?
I get to go first. Oh, my God. I had a great week. Let me think about something interesting about my week. I made one of these.
We'll talk about it later in the show.
And then what else? You know, I don't know. Let's take it over to Coop.
It's not so easy being on camera, is it? See how you have to, ad-libbing the whole time? It's not so easy, is it?
It's not so
easy.
Yeah,
you try to talk shit.
It's not
yeah,
so
see,
easy.
See how
I was talking shit?
You talk shit.
See, I have to keep running my mouth the whole time?
And then I drop a bomb.
And then you have to say stupid stuff.
And then you take credit for it.
Call him Ted 2.
You just like enjoyed the credit a little too long.
Every once in a while. Keon, how was your week?
It was great. I had a good time. I don't remember what happened. Oh, no. We went out to dinner for Jimbo Cascader last night, which was fun. I never go out. And so that was nice. It was like my evil stepmother let me out to go to a ball with the prince.
Yeah, you were sitting on the other side of the table.
Yeah, we sat far away.
Yeah. It was nice.
Far away from
but I got
prince.
To be near
yeah, who were you guys. Sitting next to?
So one of their names was Ross, and not Ross Ulbricht. And the other one's name, it was like a good white guy name.
Ted.
Paul.
It was like Herbert, you know, but it was like, okay. Like it was like two syllables, not a single syllable.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Jason.
No. I don't actually know, but he was a tall glass of water, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, I think you know what it means.
I don't know.
But he was they're both really cool guys.
I thought you were sitting next to my guy.
I was also sitting next to your guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was surrounded. And yeah, me and your guy had a talk. Pleb Dev. Anyway, that was my fun week.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think it's cool as well. How was your week?
It was good. I sat across from Janet Yellen. So that was fun.
And she was yelling.
Yeah.
She was yelling.
Janet be yelling.
We're just talking about crazy stuff like we always do. And I sat across from his wife. So that
He's
was
not it. Married.
Or girlfriend.
Are they engaged yet?
Texas. Nope. Texas. Texas law wife, I guess. Ooh. Common law wife. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting next to Juan, too. Juan was there, so we're talking about crazy stuff, too. That was fun.
Yeah, Juan is there.
I'm wearing my Pub Lab shirt today.
Oh, yeah. Show it to the stackers.
And I made it. And I made...
There you go.
We made a bunch of these a couple years ago.
Yeah. Limited
collectors,
edition.
Collectors, yeah.
Collector's items.
Boom. Cool. Okay. We're going to jump into the show. If you've never seen this crazy show, it's called Stacker News... Live. Where am I? There it goes. There goes my stuff. Here, let me go to YouTube. I don't know which one I'm logged into. I probably should have done this before. But
this is your YouTube, bro.
Eurovision. Whoa.
We jump into this is your YouTube. I'm logged into your YouTube.
How did you get into my YouTube?
Because this is where I post it. If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We record every Friday at 4:00. And
since Bitcoin was invented,
and we're pretty good at it too. Look, we got 378 videos. Last week, we
shout out Wumbo.
Yeah, Wumbo made has 861 views. Keon,
oh,
whoa, dude. So last week, we recorded
that one.
Recorded this. I don't even remember if you remember. We made this clip. I was out of town, you were here, but we made this quick little post. It was like 3 minutes long. And it had 300 views yesterday, and then today it's at 861 views. Can you believe it? That's crazy.
Yeah, I can believe.
But look, so he started putting the post in and the thing now. Yeah. Now he's putting the Stacker News posts.
Oh, cool.
So if you're watching this on YouTube now, make sure if you don't comment in this siloed world called YouTube, comment, click on this post, click on the post, click on the details. If you're watching this on your phone, click on the post, click on the details, click on the post, and go to Stacker News and comment here and make Bitcoin. See how easy that is?
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. So we're gonna get all the people from YouTube onto Stacker News. But yeah, 861 views. Good job, Wumble. So yeah, also hit subscribe. I think we got like 7 subscribers from just last week, which was amazing.
Ah.
See, Keon, told you it was gonna work.
Got 7 subscribers.
But look, yeah, and then the other one that we did with Austin had 173 views. This is the one that we did 2 weeks ago.
You and EK, eh?
Yeah, me, EK, and Austin. So that's what I'm saying. I think these clips are working. Yeah, this is another one that we did, Keon, that we did 175 views.
Oh, we're coming up, dude.
We're coming up, bro. So I'm telling you, bro.
People better get ready.
Look, I know. Not ready, and then you got to keep making the same face. Keep making that same face right there. More. If you keep making that same face, we'll get more views.
What face is that?
I don't know. It's just you have this like.
It's hard to. That's not even. It's like an expressionless face.
Yeah, you got to make that.
What's underneath it?
It's like a coob. I'm wondering face.
Man.
And as long as I keep talking about the deep state.
It's just like a pleasant smile. Nothing hidden.
Yeah. Make that face.
Smile.
Gentle.
And as long as I keep talking about the deep state. The more I talk about the deep state, the algo will keep pumping us up, I think. So I'll keep dropping the word deep state as we go along.
That might work with certain people. I don't know if it works with
anyways. Cool. Hit subscribe. People. It's free, it doesn't cost you anything. And make sure if you click on any of the clips, you go here and you click on more, and then you click on the Stacker News post and you comment through here, not on the YouTube post, because I see some stuff that you guys leave here, but I'm not gonna read it. unless you want to read it, Keon. Cool. We're going to jump into the top 5 stories. The number 5 top story is Subculture Evolution. This is from Elvis Mercury, 6 comments, 17.46 cents, May 14th, mostly homeless territory. Keon, what's this?
Yeah. All right. We're going 5-1. Let me see if I can remember my reading on this. I think Elvis does... he ties together several things, and he's always making a very deep point, like gently, which is, you know, like kind of an expert level thing to do. He's just broadly talking about Bitcoin and like our sentiment towards the outside world. And I guess that's roughly what he talks about. He compares it to, it basically says that people in subcultures often take on this point of view that they are sort of superior to the others. And then he, you know, pulls his own memory, trying to check whether that works out well, or whether that's like a justified thing, having that point of view. And he applies that to Bitcoiners who have that point of view. And then, he also links to another post about audience capture, and which is like part of the dynamic that happens in subcultures, where people begin serving the needs of other people in the subculture because it helps elevate them in the subculture, and then they get power within the subculture, and then it kind of reinforces the group and makes them stronger.
Wait, I don't get it. So you're saying that... they make themselves into...
Whoa.
Yeah, Elvis shared this very early as a stacker, and it was a great post about audience capture. And you can kind of look around Bitcoin and see where that's happening. And I think that's kind of his point, is this happens at sort of all levels. You have a type of Bitcoiner who maybe is at the top, and they're serving their audience by saying things like deep state, because that's what they want to hear, right? And then you also have smaller levels, you know, someone who has a small following on Twitter saying things that because they know that people will like it and retweet it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then part of that is just, you know, saying things about people who don't own Bitcoin, saying things about Bitcoiners who disagree with you slightly. And it, subculture stuff is, I like culture stuff in general. But yeah, subcultures are really common on the internet, more common, I would say, than before the internet.
They're proliferated by the internet.
Yeah, the internet, that's one of the internet's powers, is allowing them to exist.
Which is cool. Everybody has their own community.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yeah, and I think what part, you know, I think what might have motivated Elvis a little bit is that we're seeing Bitcoin subculture kind of diffuse and more or less kind of, you know, at least the parts of it that are true just become true more generally, where we're seeing traditional financial companies and stuff begin adopting Bitcoin.
Yeah, it looks like this was from EK's post. He derived
EK's post.
Yeah, derived from this one. This is EK's
and
photo.
And even though this post wasn't about OpRetern at all, there was still an OpRetern comment.
Really?
Yeah.
What did it say?
It said you just described the OpRetern skirmish.
Oh, that was. I mean, that's probably what motivated it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Did you read this post, Jenna?
I got mentioned in this one, yeah. Down there at the bottom. For having such enormous potential that everyone can see.
Wow.
It's like, oh, yeah,
glowing review.
Yeah.
5 stars from EK.
Yeah.
So what is he saying? I guess, so how is this all related to the previous one, though? I guess that's where I'm like, is he saying Poet is a subculture of, yeah. Oh, no. EK's right there. So what is he?
So Elvis McCurry read my post, and in my post, I mentioned that Bitcoiners are not very different from normies. Think it's just a tiny difference that makes all the difference. And yeah, that's Elvis McCurry basically picked up that line and wanted to reply to my post, but it became so big it became its own post. And I found it quite funny that it felt like my post had a baby.
Okay, I think I get it now. Cool. Kian, you got anything else?
No. I think that'll do it. I should have commented on this. I would have had more to say, but because I would have been forced to think about my thoughts more. But in general, this is the type of stuff I like thinking about. It's like human dynamics, culture stuff. I think it's really awesome. I think there's a version of me that would have spent a lot more time thinking about these kinds of things and studying them.
Cool. The number 4 story of the week is how to offer submarine swaps Electrum documentation. This is from FF321X7, Lightning Territory, May 13th, 5 comments, 836 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so it looks like it's unreleased, I think, currently, but in the master branch of Electrum, they are adding the ability for anyone who's running an Electrum server to provide submarine swaps, basically Lightning to on-chain or on-chain to Lightning. And so you can more or less, if you're running an Electrum server, you can provide a Bolts-like service with a few configuration changes. And, you know, you have uptime requirements and liquidity requirements and stuff to be able to do it successfully. But this is, I think, one of the things I'd like to see more of in Bitcoin is Bitcoiners providing non-custodial services to each other. Lightning nodes already do that, but swaps are more or less centralized right now. And this I suspect we'll see a lot more people running these services. You can make some decent money doing swaps, and maybe we'll see people who run Lightning nodes provide this more commonly. But pretty cool. I think it'll get this is documentation from master, but it looks like it's slated to be released soon, and we'll get it soon.
Nice. Top comments from Darth Coin. He said, this is very good and helpful. Can't wait for this from OT. Pretty good. Cool. The next top story, number three, is Do You Drink? This is from Unschooled, 66 comments, 914 sats from the SN territory. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I don't know. Unschooled, I guess, asked the Stackers if they drink. Wanted, was curious about it. They had stopped drinking themselves in January. And then I didn't really share many details, I don't think, yet. And then wanted to know what Stackers thought about drinking, what they thought about other drugs.
He mentioned you and Darthcoin that don't drink.
Yeah, well, Darthcoin does drink, and I said on a previous Stacker News Live that I had stopped drinking.
I guess it's around the room. Janet, do you drink?
Yeah.
Are you drinking right now?
Yes.
That's funny.
But Keon, you didn't totally stop, or maybe have you stopped? When was that you totally stopped?
I totally stopped, I think, 6 months ago, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. I did have a drink at dinner with friends like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Because one of the people wanted to drink there, and I didn't want them to drink alone.
Yeah. I had a drink last night. I had an old fashioned last night. It was
good. Oh, that's good.
But I only drink on special occasions now.
I don't really have a problem. I think drinking's fun. I like drinking. I just do, when I drink, I drink a lot. And I don't like that. And then, yeah, I feel like I'm already doing harm to my body. I say in a comment here, I'm doing harm to my body working a lot. And I don't really want, that feels like enough. It feels like poison enough. And so
you got to pick your poison.
You got to pick your poison. And my poison, I think I would prefer it to be work.
Do you also have a valve, as I have, is what he says. A valve?
What's a valve?
Like a stress release valve.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Stressful. Yeah. Valve for mundane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. From the mundane. Yeah.
Hmm.
That is important.
What's your valve, Jenna?
Well, one of them, and I'm getting excited because it's the season for it again, is going out and paddleboarding.
Oh.
So fun. So nice. I have a paddleboard. I blow it up. It's an inflatable. I take it out there on the water.
That's cool.
You know?
It's just you and the still water.
The sun, the water, the wind. Sometimes there's a snake in the water. Uh-oh. I have seen that before.
That's crazy.
Is it real?
Yep.
It's like a real snake?
Yep. I took my mother-in-law out paddleboarding, and the snake was near her. And I was just like, hey, come over this way.
Mm.
And everything was fine.
Did you look it up? Like the snake and what type of snake and if it's poisonous?
No.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like they move really fast in the water. That's where they're the most dangerous.
Yeah, it looks like the Stackers had a lot to say here about drinking.
And the Stackers had a lot to say here, yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, somebody's talking about being a piss drinker.
I think there's
a piss drinker in here.
What's a piss drinker?
Well, I think that's just Darthcoin shitting on somebody's type of beer or a beer.
Yeah, they drink unalcohol, or what is it? De-alcohol? What are they called?
Gluten-free.
like alcohol without alcohol in it.
Yeah, people are drinking that these days.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Car?
No, I didn't know that.
There's one popular one here. It's like called Athletic Brewing.
Mm.
Have you tried that?
Crazy. Anyways.
I like this guy. You just said, yes, I do. Answer the question.
Yeah.
He did it.
Cool. Well, Stackers, keep drinking. Or not. I don't know.
Do what you want with yourself.
Yeah. Have fun. Take pictures. Do stuff. Celebrate. Life's short. The number two. We're at number two already. There you go. Lop Return Wars. The problem is deeper than spam filters. Stratum V1 has to die. This is from Omaha. Omahawk. May 10th. Bitcoin territory. 14 comments. 2015 cents. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, sort of using the attention around off return to
Are those rare peppies?
Discuss mining centralization and, well, mostly centralization around block template creation. Identifies it as stratum v1 problem. And that we should really be, and, you know, part of how he ties it into the opportune drama is a lot of the opportune stuff is about mempool consistency and the fact that when people's mempools, we can rely on people's mempools being mostly the same, it provides certain advantages to the network. And he's basically arguing that it's not really that big of a deal that they're all consistent, and we should really be making sure that block templates can be inconsistent. And that's what he thinks we should really be talking about more. And then at the end, he, you know, promotes Datum and Ocean as really the only pool right now that you can use, at least that's publicly available, that allows miners to make their own block templates on the pool. And yeah, that's kind of the post. It was, you know, not, I don't think it was, basically getting around the knots versus core issue. Although he did group, I commented on there, he did group his advocacy for Ocean and Datum with running knots, which is not required. You can run core with Ocean and Datum. But yeah, I thought, I mean, in general, it's a good post. We need more people. This is, I think, a bigger systemic problem than Opportune. Opportune is a nice issue that everyone can kind of talk about and have an opinion. We discussed it last night at dinner, even with folks who are maybe not spending all their time talking about Bitcoin stuff. But this is more important.
What do you got, Topher?
Oh, I agree. It's kind of funny, like, just how wrong Satoshi was about this, like, that everybody would just be using a single CPU to mine. Some of the earliest forks of Bitcoin was to try and add ASIC resistance to the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Litecoin tried to do this. They failed. Monero, I think, is the only one that's been successful in implementing like an alternative proof of work mechanism. But I feel like even if Monero got popular enough that companies would figure out a way to do some sort of ASIC that would work with Monero's RandomX instruction set. So yeah, it's just interesting how like the whole idea of mining pools just came out of nowhere and just took over. So I kind of agree, like mining pools are too centralized, and yeah, that he has like a really he has a Twitter post that he screenshot it in here, yeah, where it's like every other pool is your hash my block, and I feel like that's like really powerful, because that is like, I think the crux of the issue is that that people that are contributing hash aren't contributing block templates, they aren't running a node, they're just providing dumb hash, and it's centralizing the hash to whoever the pool operator is, and it's a very, very strong centralizing force. And there's a lot of perverse incentives around that. And yeah, I don't know what you do about it, but I guess killing Stratum V1 is one way to go about it. Yeah, like I agree with the premise that like this is a big issue, like even bigger than Opportune or anything else.
All right, let's see what the stackers say. Stackers top comments. Simple Stacker at the top comment said, "Now I think I should run knots." Optimism said, interesting, why?
He came back, I think, the next day, and
then Darth Quinn posted this.
He came back the next day and said he was syncing a new node on a Raspberry Pi, and it took him, I think, two or three times the amount of time to sync his node because of the size of the UTXO set. So I don't know if he would agree with himself the day prior about running knots. And I'm not talking about the video.
Yeah, I know. I was just looking at it again because Darth is hilarious.
It's a pretty silly video.
I think he's saying that, does it make a difference? I don't know what he's saying with that video, but he'll tell me later. Cool. What else you got, Keon? Anything else on this? I mean, you've been reading about it all this week, talking about it.
Yeah, I don't really have much more to say on the Opera Turn stuff. I think there've been some great posts about it and some great discussions.
What's going on with Stratum V2?
So Stratum V2 has its first pool, a demand pool, but I think it's in private beta right now.
Yeah.
So it's not open to the public. You can't get access to it as easily as you can Ocean's Pool. But what's in contrast to Ocean's Pool, I believe their pool server is open source, and they've been more transparent about how they deal with the fees that different block template miners how they deal with the differences in fees between blocks. And a lot of people asked that question of Jason, who is, I think, CTO at Ocean during the Bitcoin Plus conference, and he sort of dodged it. Yeah, but that's what's going on with Stratum V2.
Right.
It's like out. People are beginning to work with it.
Cool.
Very slowly.
Yeah, it'll be slow. And adoption of these new protocols will be hard because they require the miner to do more work.
Yeah.
That isn't just provide hash.
Yeah. Yeah.
The number one top story of the week is a comprehensive Opera Turn limits Q&A resource to combat misinformation. This is from Tidwell Prison Post, Bitcoin territory, May 12th, 30,000 sats, 21 comments, 51% of it sent over to merch. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so I think we covered it last week. Tidwell's thread with merch. Where Tidwell asked Merch a bunch of questions about, like, just common questions about Opera Turn, and Merch answered them in a thread. And so rather than point people to that thread where they'd have to find each question in the thread, Tidwell decided to make a dedicated post for it, making it a little more easy to find each question that someone might have. So if you have someone discussing Opera Turn or confused about Opera Turn stuff, this is like a resource you could use to hear in detail what these things are about. And yeah.
Cool. Any standouts here that you think are important?
Standouts. I would say most of it is, it's really easy to, Merch writes well, very clearly, explains things very well. If someone is interested in getting into this debate, especially technically, that this is what I would read. Of course, this debate isn't really technical for most people, and it's more like a sort of spiritual debate or a cultural debate. And people just want to punish bad actors to a large extent.
I think it's just been like a slow news cycle. And there's just been nothing else to talk about.
I would say that there's been quite a bit to talk about, but a lot of what's going on in Bitcoin right now is primarily like the Bitcoin reserve stuff, the treasury stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing for the hackers to really talk about.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's like a slow news cycle for technical developments in Bitcoin.
Yeah. This is a good resource, though.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Topher, you got anything? What do you think about this post?
Merch has, like,
I skim through it. It's a good post. Merch does, he responds very well. I think his opinions are pretty much the same as the rest of the core team. I didn't really see any divergence of opinion. So it was just more the same for me. Yeah.
Are you saying it's good or bad?
I wouldn't say it's good or bad. It's just that there's, you know, people have their perceptions and I have my perceptions. And so I understand where Merch is coming from and I understand like where the rest of the core team is coming from. So like, I get why they see things the way that they do. I don't particularly agree with everything, but like it's reasonable. And he explains his positions very well. So, but I've been immersed in this drama for like several weeks now. It's all blurring together, Carr.
I'm checked out.
Yeah, I think I'm checked out too.
Well, thanks for sharing that because I think it's good for people to hear. Keon, you got anything else on this one?
No, I think it's pretty awesome. If there was someone that I thought was vulnerable to a technical argument for why we might want to increase the offer turn limit, it's the resource that I would send them. I think the argument has moved beyond it, but we have some, you know, people get into it, in the comments here to a large degree.
Yeah. Top comment was from Lieber Hans. He says, for me, this isn't about technical details of OpRetern or OpRetern anymore. Spam is bad. Core making it easier to spam sends the wrong signal. I didn't care about filters before this. Now I do.
And yeah, to a large degree,
Tidwell jumped in.
Signaling has become like the what message are we sending to like the youth, to other Bitcoiners? What are we? That's become kind of the.
Yeah, and then Tidwell jumped in and said, Lieber Hans, if you were to ask, is Core allowing more spam by removing OpRetern limits? I think they would not agree they are. And he goes, do me a favor, look at questions 2, 4, 9, 19, 20, 26, 27, 28. Is there anything you disagree with reference to the answers? I would love to make this constructive instead of us versus them sort of thing. Likely we all want something very similar. Question 19 is, will Taproot Wizards and other spam companies and projects start using OpRetern to put JPEGs on the blockchain? Probably closest to really drilling into this. Again, the perspective of Udi and Rindell, both active in that question. And then Usagi, May 12th, said, using the word allow, is Core allowing more spam by, yeah, and it just keeps going. I don't know, man. I mean,
yeah,
I could say some things, but it's just going to hurt feelings and people will be upset with Carr. So I just don't say anything anymore. There's nothing else to say. People already know how I feel. Cool. You guys have anything else? Here you go.
Like, if you're a networking engineer, I don't know. I feel like this would drive you crazy because, like, this is a big problem in networking, dealing with spam. But the solution is to build better filters. It's not to concede necessarily. So yeah, that's the thing that I don't understand. It's like, why don't we have better filters? And at the end of the day, like, this is all powered by open source. So, you know, if you want to know why there's a problem, just look in the mirror. You haven't done anything about it yet. So it's like anybody can come in and disrupt this space. And if they feel like the filters suck and that they should improve, they should be better. Like, you can actually, you know, put hands to keyboard and actually fix it. Yeah. But hey, there's people that are contributing to knots and there's people that are thinking of like spawning alternative implementations of Bitcoin Core. And so, I don't know, maybe this spices up the developer scene a bit and we start to see some more variety, some alternative solutions, some refreshing ideas in the space on how to combat this stuff. Because I feel like it is a problem. I mean, you look at the numbers, you look at the UTXO set and how it's grown, like, like, you see all of these like massive JPEGs that just take up an entire block, how fees just like will radically swing from one day to the next. And like the halvening where like Literally, people were paying like $3 million just to get a transaction in the front of the block to mint a rune. Like, just like this stuff does cause disruption. So it would be nice to like have solutions for it. And I don't know. We'll see. Like, it'll be cool to see like what comes of this. And if people actually, like, if all of this drama actually turns into people writing code to solve problems. But we'll see. I'm bullish, though.
I'm still bullish.
Yep. All right. Kian, you got anything else?
I think the arguments or the argument people would make against what Topher is saying about improving the filters, and we do need filters. We have filters. We'll always have filters for DOS protection and other problems that certain transactions can create. It would be an arms race, I think, is the argument. It's like hard. It's very hard to tell a valid financial transaction from an invalid one. And it, you know, if you develop a heuristic to tell that something is, you know, spam data, JPEGs or whatever, they'll figure out what that heuristic is and then work around it. And you just have to keep doing it over and over and over again. And so I think the argument is, let's not do that. Because when people are trying to bypass the filters, they're just going to go to an accelerator, which is part of the problem that was discussed in one of the earlier posts that we were talking about, this pool centralization stuff. And those are accelerators are only a thing because these pools are so large and they can kind of, you can pay them and more or less guarantee you're going to get something in a block within a few blocks because they're so huge. And so that creates incentive for pools to get larger. I don't know if there is a filter solution for preventing things from consensus happening, like base consensus happening. Like you can disincentivize it at best, right? And you can create this arms race, but there's no solve for it other than fixing consensus, right?
So like why is it that in order to adjust your filters, like you really only have these limited options with flags that you put in when you start Bitcoin Core? Like, why can't you have programmable filters? Why can't you have just more sophisticated tools to filter this stuff out? And like, so what? It's an arms race. If the arms race means you build better tools that you're going to use anyway, how is that a bad thing?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. I would just say that there are ways to get around any filter that exists currently and are already used. So it just seems potentially like a waste of time. I think that's
and then it's just a matter of opinion. Like, do you feel like it's a waste of time or do you feel like it's not a waste of time?
Yeah.
And so it just really comes down to that. I don't think it would be a waste of time. There's examples like Bitcoin stamps where they tried bypassing filters. I think they were bypassing filters to do what they were doing. But you know, it, like stuff like that, like it dies down and it goes away because filters do like they impact the economic advantage long-term of what some of these people are trying to do, because it's not just about cashing in on VC money. They are trying to like build something, like whether it's like release some sort of inscription collection or some sort of protocol that dumps a lot of data on the blockchain. Like if you have to rely on using things like Slipstream and you maybe can only get your transaction in once every 2 hours, like that might not be viable as a protocol. And so that's like, it does like dissuade you from doing these things longer term. Also just like the hostility of doing something that's like against the market's interests, and the market being able to like show that there's a voice and represent their voice by running these filters and by actively like showing that, you know, these transactions can't get through the mempool, or their propagation is slowed down, or people have to use these side channels to get the transactions in. Like, at least try to do something. Like, go for the low hanging fruit. Like, it doesn't even have to turn into like a sophisticated arms race. Just like simple stuff. Like, oh, you have an if statement that isn't even evaluated in your script. Like in any other programming language, your compiler will yell at you. Like that's like a very simple thing. But like Bitcoin script doesn't have that sophistication. And I don't think it's like not worth pursuing like more sophisticated filters and just better evaluation of Bitcoin script so that people aren't like trying to stuff data everywhere. Like if you were to pursue like building better tools to combat filters and you end up just getting better tools in general, I don't think that's a bad thing. I just don't understand why people are so easy to give up on this issue. Mm-hmm. Other than a core is already like, it's already a really tough job to be a core maintainer. And there's already so much other stuff that you have to do that it's not that like you can't build better tools. It's just that there's no money in it. Mm-hmm. And then there's just so much other non-political, simple things that you can go after that there's just no real incentive for the core to, because like I feel like it is a labor of love to like contribute to Bitcoin Core and to even like manage it or try to run it or review PRs or review code. And so why would you even want to deal with this? Like it, I could totally get just throwing your hands up in the air and just be like, I don't want to deal with this. It's, let's just remove the filters and just, I don't know, kick the can down the road. But I don't know. I also feel like you could put a little bit of extra effort into this and make better filters, make better tools to the benefit of everyone. And it would slow down a lot of like a lot of the data dumping that's happening right now. Like if you just tried a little harder, because I think the problem is like, it's just way too easy to do it right now. It's way too easy because there's really no filters to stop you, especially from like dumping it in the witness. So I don't know. I feel like we could try maybe a little bit and then see where that gets us. Like, I don't think like we've even started the race. Like we haven't really even tried to address this problem.
Right. So I guess it sounds like you're saying it's not because the core's job is hard and they have so much other things to do. It's not really their job. But you're saying as a community, we should maybe do more filters, and you're not saying that.
Not that core should do it.
Yeah.
I don't think core should do anything because it is like, it's voluntary to work on core. So you can't force them to do anything. So like, if you want to see something done, like you in open source, like you have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, as a community, like if this is that serious of a problem, which there's a lot of arguing back and forth, so it seems like it is, then as a community, I feel like we should put more effort into building better filters. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be in Bitcoin Core. It could be in Knots. It could be in like another implementation of Core. So yeah, so no, like it shouldn't be the burden of the core team to have to do the bidding of the community.
Yeah, the entire community. I think that's
never
going
to happen.
Yeah, so is this the right... I think the debate becomes, is this the right move for core to make rather than is this the right move for everyone who's running a node and, you know, working on an implementation to make? And I think this makes a lot of sense from core's perspective. And then the other thing they core talks about a lot is that they're trying to break out the consensus engine from into its own library so anyone can write their own node and without having to worry about accidental chain splits. So yeah, I think we'll I think people have talked about this too much already, but it is like subtly nuanced and interesting and not that complicated. So anyway, I think Carr is ready to move on.
Yeah, but I'm sure Tidwell will post another Sunday post. They'll be like, I'll return. Best of.
No, I think he's...
Tidwell's doing a good job.
I know, it was a joke, Jenna.
He didn't have to bring it to Stacker News, but he did.
It was a joke, Jenna. It was a joke. All right, cool. I'm joking, Tidwell. He knows.
Carr's jokes are so fun.
He knows my humor. All right, cool. So we're going to jump into our post now. Yay. No more op return stuff. finally, after 3 weeks, we can finally move on. And maybe next week we'll have back to normal news. Hopefully, we'll see. Keon, let's jump into your... Oh, no.
It's more offer turn. Oh, great. Do you want to skip to your stuff?
No, we're going through it. We're going to smash through it. Keon's post is the utility of bike shedding offer turn limits. Keon,
I don't really have it.
What's this again?
I do find the offer turn drama kind of boring, but I do think that with the one thing I think that's kind of interesting about it is that I think that offer turn brought factions in Bitcoin that were previously apart together. So before you had a lot of the inscriptions people attacking Core for not being in favor of soft forks. But post the offer turn drama, a lot of the inscriptions people and the people who wanted to see CTV and these other soft fork, you know, these covenant soft forks and Bitcoin, they have like aligned themselves. They have sort of found common ground with Core, found something they agree with Core. And I think that's really interesting. And it made me think that possibly this is a natural occurrence and is there almost by design in terms of like human culture, in that we find these tiny things to debate so that we can align together and form groups of people that we agree with, because the thing is so tiny that nearly anyone can have an opinion on it and you can, you know, get to know someone. It's sort of like a small talk. And I just found that really interesting. And I think this might not be a distraction. If you like zoom out, it might actually be, part of community functioning is having these debates and finding groups of people that you agree with and disagree with and knowing so that when there's something more complex or more complicated or harder to come to agreement on, you know, you can go to certain people and know that on this past thing, you agreed with them on that past thing, and that you can likely trust their judgment on something more complex that you don't understand. Anyway, that was my thought, is that there's utility in discussing these things, even if everyone's exhausted by it and thinks it's retarded. And I think it's healthy. I think it's led to it's generated a lot of good. If we believe people building more filters and working on tooling like that and stuff is good, it generated a lot of good. And so that's my main point, is that I don't think these things are, I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's a, I think debating small, seemingly meaningless things has meaningful and good impact on community.
Yeah, I agree.
I have this joke that I like to say, that Bitcoin is just this one massive global tech company with no HR department and no CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And so all we can really do is just kind of like bicker and fight and then come together and party and just kind of have like this wild dynamic back and forth. So like just stuff like this is going to spawn out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And people get riled up about it. We talk about it. We argue about it. We have discussions about it. At some point we put it to bed. We move on. We come together.
Yeah.
This is all par of the course.
Did you tell Carr what bike shedding is?
Oh, Carr, were you still curious about what bike shedding was?
Not really.
When you need to, it's when you grow up out of training wheels, you need to shed your bike to a new one.
Yeah.
That's a dumb analogy.
Yeah, it's like a snake, not a water snake.
That's a really dumb analogy. Shed,
but
it's the stupidest analogy I've ever heard in my life. Shouldn't be called bike shedding. It should just be called getting rid of training wheels.
Do you want to actually know? Because she gave you a joke.
Oh, was that your joke? Really?
Oh, it was not really what bike shedding means.
Oh, what's bike shedding?
So bike shedding is the term that we use to describe like people debating unimportant issues because debating the complex issues is unavailable to them. And it comes from
Wait, I think, say that again slower. You said what?
So, like, the origin of this is, let's say PlebLab was designing a nuclear facility.
That would never happen.
And, you know.
Can we do time travel?
Topher and Nick are designing it because they're really smart and they're designing
a nuclear facility. Let's do time travel instead.
What the fuck are you talking
about? No, we can't do that. Okay, we do time.
We're designing a time machine.
There you go. That sounds good.
Topher and Nick are designing a time machine. And they're you know, and you and I, we just do this podcast. We don't know anything about time machines, but Topher and Nick know a lot about it.
They would consult us, I think.
And so, we can't answer anything. But the moment Topher and Nick begin designing the bike shed that they're going to put next to the time machine, you and I begin to chime in on the bike shed. And we're like, you know,
what's the bike shed?
You know what the bike? It's a shed for bikes. We store our bikes there as we're entering and exiting the time machine. Yeah. And once Nick and Topher begin designing the bike shed, you and I are like, you know what? I think the roof should be sloped a little differently. I think we need more bike racks inside of it. And so that's what bike shedding is. It's like
you talk about everything but the time machine.
Yeah, because it's too complicated for most people. But when the simple thing comes up,
gotcha.
You begin to have a lot. You know, everyone can have an opinion.
That's what bike shedding is.
That's what bike shedding.
Oh my God, lost your hat.
That's like just talking about like the frame, but you can't. But you can't actually draw the picture, or you're not an artist.
Yeah. Right?
What is the link there when you? When you linked bike shedding,
the Wikipedia article.
It's the wiki. Okay.
Oh, that's what bike shedding. That's actually a really good. That's interesting. That's like having no talent, basically.
Oh no, I think it's. I think it's like having.
Yeah, it's like having no talent, right?
Oh, I think in that domain, yeah. Yeah,
that's like people who just have money but no talent. That's what I would say.
No, I think it depends on a domain. So you might be a great movie. You might be able to make movies, but not know about time machines. And you can bike shed. You can bike shed a time machine building, but that doesn't mean you have no talent. You're talented at making movies, right?
Wait, say that again. So you might be able to.
Okay, I mean, so let's say Martin Scorsese doesn't have anything to say about time machines, but he has a lot of opinions on bike shed. So is he talentless?
No, he's super talented because he makes movies, but he can't give you any advice on time machines though.
But that's what I'm saying.
But he can make a documentary about your time machine.
Okay. Yeah. So he has talent, even though he can only bike shed during a discussion about time machines.
Okay. Okay, I think we got this. All right, we'll move
Isn't
on.
Isn't that fun? Now you know a new word. I didn't know it until Keon explained it to me the other day.
It's very common in software development. It's like very obvious.
Yeah.
And also EK explained it well.
Yeah. EK told me what the, like the actual origin of the word that I didn't know. Oh. Who created a post about?
They can't hear you.
I have some experience of bike shedding on Nostra Wallet Connect, because when I was implementing that last year, I was reading the discussion, and then I made a zap to zero post, basically just about how much bike shedding there was going on. And Ben De Carmen literally wrote in the discussion on GitHub, "You guys are bike shedding way more than necessary." And that, like, I will never forget that because it was so funny. Yes.
Cool. All right.
Anyway,
let's jump into the next story from Keon.
We can go over this really quickly, but
another op return.
Jimmy post looks at all the op returns that have happened and the ones that are like non-standard, larger than 83 bytes, and tries to determine whether they're paying higher fee rate because they're non-standard, and comes to the conclusion that they are. So, you know, you can take this as evidence that the filters are causing these op returns with more data in them to pay more fees. And then so Jimmy and I have
back and forth
about this, but that, you know,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You
have to talk at the mic. They can't hear you.
This was a convincing, it was a convincing argument for me, but I wonder like, what's the good honest steel man for the other side of like, okay, this is a nice argument. You can look at the data, right? But actually you're looking at this the wrong way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're making, you're taking the data and
using it as an example of what'll happen in the future. And that's kind of that's why I think this debate is so hard, is that everyone's trying to predict the future. Like what is the consequence of these changes? What is the consequence of keeping them the same? And there's no agreement on what even that means technically, what even that means in terms of data. Yeah.
I'll say this goes to like the core of one of my thoughts and arguments as well, is like, you wager me an unfalsifiable bad thing will happen in the future if we don't make a change. And I wager to you that it will happen if we do make a change.
Yeah.
Is the burden of proof on you because you want to make the change?
Some people would say yes. Some people would say no.
Yeah. But then that's kind of like a bit of a standoff, and like,
that's what we
where have. Do you go from there?
Yeah. That's exactly the position we're in.
Cool. Let's jump into Janice top stories.
I have one up there. And it's my own. Look at that.
All right. So, Jana, tell us about your top story of the week.
So, I made Stacker News Zine number 8. And you can see that through these links. You can check it out. I included all the people that got in it. EK put up all the images that I'm also holding.
Why did you go with this cover art?
So there's core, there's apple cores, and then there are knots. There are little knots in the screens. See?
Oh, I get it. See? What is this? Oh, that's a knot. I get it.
It's a knot.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of clever, huh?
Yeah.
Did you put
these sticky notes here on the computer?
No, that was from the photo. I didn't really do much doctoring to the photo itself. Just a photo of some cubicles.
Okay.
Very
cool.
You know, if you ever want to get your posts in the zine, you know, you gotta either just get my attention or get in the top posts.
I like cubicles. I want Blub Lab to have cubicles while we're on the topic of cubicles.
No.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cool to have rows of cubicles like that in here?
I think it would be kind of cool, but look at the...
Yeah.
Car, go and look at the next Everyone page, their, like, the first page, this chart.
Where?
Check out that chart.
This one?
Yeah. So this was a chart that EK helped me. It's the mention of op returns over like all time. Look how much op return was mentioned this month. You're off the chart now, but.
Oh, hang on. We're right here?
Yeah. That blue. That is the mention of op returns.
7,000. Wow.
The last month.
That's crazy.
Isn't that funny? And look, like where else it is, like over all time of Stacker News.
No wonder I'm so annoyed with it.
But I share your sentiment. I wrote about that just in the note from the editor
What did you say? Did you notice this trend this month? While I cannot provide a nuanced or thorough evaluation of the proposed changes to Bitcoin, I provided at least the useful post covering the topic in the past 3 zines. Your editor is a little bored. But you Stackers, you keep things interesting. Check out the the last page. Zap. Yeah.
Zap.
I like how you talked about yourself in third person.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's what writers do.
No, there's like... What's that show on Netflix from like the middle ages or whatever?
Oh, you put the bike shedding one?
That woman, right?
Yeah, I did. And I drew a little bike and a little shed. Isn't that cute?
Bridgerton? Have you watched Bridgerton?
I haven't watched it.
Oh.
I've watched Downton Abbey.
I love this right here. This is really cool.
The writer talks about themselves in third person, and it's nice.
Where'd you get this image from?
Well, go to the top. I wrote a little bit about that.
I took this image from Noster. It was taken from Twitter. But yeah, where did it come from, though? I guess I have to reverse image it.
Somebody that works on Perplexity.
Oh, really? Anyway. Oh, this is an AI image?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It is.
Man, it's probably looking into the darkness of... Abyss.
Shoot, I just realized I have a printing error.
That's really cool. Well, okay, that's awesome. So people can get it. And
it's up on GitHub, it's up on Zaprite.
You want to read it, you got to go to GitHub to read it. It's on Jenna's GitHub.
You can check it out there.
You can click print.
You can rip it off.
Open source. You can verify that it's that the code is real.
And this was the week before where I talked about Bitcoin +++.
Oh yeah, you can get that one too. Let me go.
You can get that one as well.
And then then you can go buy. You can buy it right here.
You can go buy it there.
Buy it right here.
Anyway, that's about it. But that's awesome. I have a really fun time doing this, and I'm open to feedback.
Are you? How much are you selling of these a week?
Do you mind? These are 3,000 sats.
No, how much are you? How much are you? Are you? How much are you like sending out? If you don't mind me asking, is it
about 3?
Oh, that's not bad.
3 to 5.
I saw that there was somebody else trying to do a zine now too.
Yeah, we're gonna hear, I think, from him next week. He said he was gonna post it.
And then I don't know if you saw, but Mr. Max Webster tweeted out to his millions of followers.
Does he have millions?
I think he
has. What did he tweet?
Hundreds of thousands. Does about he? The zine.
Oh. About this one?
About the Stacker News zine.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Shout out, Max.
Yeah, thanks. Shout out. Yeah, Max is awesome Stacker. He loves Stacker News.
I haven't been on Twitter much, but
neither have I, but EK showed me. He shared the zine. Thanks, Max. And then the other thing was, what was the other cool zine thing I saw?
There was an art post.
Was it an art post?
From No Good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there was another zine thing I wanted to share, but I guess I don't remember what else I saw. I guess I'll remember later. Cool, yeah. And then the other post that you had was No Good book update. What's this, Jenna?
Yeah, I'm just excited for this book coming out. This is an artist who's done a lot of Bitcoin stuff. He has an interesting style that carries over really well for technical stuff. So he did I really know him from he did TapConf posters and stuff, which were really neat.
Look how neat his room is. I love his room.
Yeah. So this is just a post he's sharing about his progress on putting his collection together. And I think it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be worth checking out, and you can pre-order. He has a geyser fund.
He should do an art installation at TAB.
He should do an illustration class, I think.
Oh, that would be cool.
I would love that. But there's a video in this post of him while he's drawing. It's pretty cool, kind of part of his process. So stay looking out. Thanks for sharing. It's fun to read about this.
Oh, he has a video too. From a video.
Yeah.
I started No Good back in 2021.
And you can see that he is not Japanese. That I could
experiment within, while also focusing on work that's deeply meaningful to me.
Look how cool this is.
Yeah, my illustrations tell an overarching story of open source software, independent technology, and digital privacy. And I'd like the work I've created to speak to those who have no innate understanding of these subjects. Inspired by zines and other art books, I started working on the No Good art book last year. It's my effort to highlight open source projects, and I aim for it to open doors to worlds mostly unknown to the average internet user.
Yeah, pretty cool.
The No Good art book is a self-published and crowdfunded book, and you can already pick up a copy as it's now available to pre-order.
Yeah, self-publishing is important. And I'm a big fan of that.
What is he using to purchase it?
So there's a geyser fund. Oh, what is he using on this to pre-order? Probably.
It's just
what is it?
Be Shopify.
Okay. Just BTC Pay. Oh, there you go. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. I think this book that he's coming out with will be a really worthy piece of art to collect. So
that's cool. Awesome.
So yeah.
I love the video that he did. Really nice. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Cool. Let's jump into my top stories of the week. Let me go switch here. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but Coinbase got hacked.
I think their customer support in some country where they run their customer support, they got like socially engineered or something.
I want to make you aware of a disturbing email that we received recently at Coinbase. It was a ransom note demanding $20 million in Bitcoin in exchange for these attackers not releasing the information they claimed to have obtained on our customers. Now, we like to be transparent here at Coinbase, so I'm going to respond publicly to these attackers by saying no. We are not going to be a ransom. In fact, I have a few next steps in mind that I'm going to share at the end of this video. But for the rest of you watching, wondering what happened, we did an investigation here. And these attackers have been approaching our overseas customer support agents, looking for a leaked link, someone who would accept a bribe in exchange for sharing some customer information with them. Now, our support tools have limited access to customer information. There was no passwords or private keys or funds access as part of this. But customer support agents do have access to personal information like name, date of birth, address, etc. And attackers still want access to this information because it allows them to conduct social engineering attacks where they can call our customers, impersonating Coinbase customer support, and try to trick them into sending their funds to the attacker. Now, unfortunately, they were able to find a few bad apples. Our systems are designed to mitigate the impact of something like this, so less than 1% of our monthly transacting users had their records accessed, but this is still unacceptable. And I want to tell you what we're doing about it.
So before I play the rest of it, it was really interesting because there was a really good post by Matt Levine. He called it money stuff. Coinbase got hacked a little. This was about a day ago. I don't know if you read this, Keon. This was posted by Aardvark.
Yeah, I think it's a what do they call it? It's a
or not Aardvark. This is Dennis.
It's a column that he does. The money stuff is the name of the column that he does regularly. So, but yeah.
Yeah. And so I didn't even know this, but apparently, and we were talking about this last week about Kevin Mitnick and about social engineering and all that stuff, and about how, you know, if you want to attack somebody, the easiest attack vector is a human, and that's how you're going to do it. And you're not going to go through like a normal means of attacking somebody's computer. I mean, you could, but the easiest way is just going through like customer service and getting people to do stuff for you, especially if you're like suave enough. But I didn't know this part. He mentioned this thing. He goes, there are a few cases of hackers getting into the bank and stealing the money, but not many and not that much of the money. He goes, I used to joke that it is weird that hackers keep breaking into banks to steal email addresses and when the banks also have money, but of course it isn't. It's not that the hackers don't want to steal the money. It's that they can't. The banks guard the money much, much, much more carefully than they guard the email addresses. They guard the email addresses very closely, but the money is a whole different level. He goes, meanwhile, historically, cryptocurrency exchanges face their own cybersecurity risks. Of which main ones were probably hackers were constantly stealing all of their crypto unless the executives of crypto exchanges stole it first. Because it used to be that the way you hacked crypto exchanges that you walked up to the chief executive officer in exchange or crypto conference, you said, hi, I'm the wallet inspector. I need to inspect your crypto wallet. He goes right here. Where is it at? There's one right here. He goes, yeah, he goes right here. The lesson here is that if you are really dedicated to hacking Coinbase, you can bribe a customer service employee, get some customer email addresses, and use them for scams and social engineering projects. But you can't bribe the person with the keys to give you Coinbase's crypto. But so what he said here was really fascinating. I'm trying to find it, but he was saying that what you could do is you could ransom all that information. Like you could ransom all their email addresses, their passwords, all that stuff. And then use that to then sell on the open, the black market, or even take that information and hack their personal bank accounts. Like people that were using Coinbase, take all that information and then go try Wells Fargo and all these other places to log in with that same information, or try like you know, because if people have Coinbase, they probably have like you know, all these other fintech apps, right? Mm-hmm. And then he even said down here, he gets into a lot of things here, but he said that they basically have to pay the ransom because, yeah, right here he goes, they can do social engineering attacks on customers to try to get them to hand over money
They can threaten to publish the information if the bank doesn't pay them a ransom. They can, and he says, I swear this is a real thing, file a whistleblower complaint with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission if the bank fails to properly disclose the hack. So, and maybe this is where I'm confused and I need somebody to clear this up with me. Maybe you know, Keon. Does that mean that if, because he says here, maybe let me play this now. If he says here that he's not going to pay, watch.
So first, any customers that were socially engineered as a result of this incident, we're going to reimburse them. There's more details on our website, on our blog post about the reimbursement process. You can read more there. Any customers who have been impacted by this or have been notified at this point. Number two, we're hardening our systems around customer support to make something like this much more difficult in the future. And third, we're actually relocating some of our customer support operations as a result of this. But the last step is maybe the most important, which is that instead of paying this $20 million ransom, we're turning it around. And we're putting out a $20 million reward for any information leading to the arrest and conviction of these attackers. For these would-be extortionists or anyone seeking to harm Coinbase customers, know that we will prosecute you and bring you to justice. And now you have my answer.
So that doesn't matter, because once that information's out there, those people can go and log into Robinhood and some of these other apps that they might have, all these other fintech apps. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what this means, but it does sound like... It does sound like they're in a world of, like, Coinbase is a world of trouble now that that information is out there and freely available on the dark markets.
Well, not Coinbase. Coinbase is customers.
Coinbase is customers, yeah.
Yeah.
But Coinbase got hacked, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, their customer service got socially engineered but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great post. He talks about other things, but I had a speed read it right before we started because we were starting at 4, and it was good. And then he gets into some other stuff down here, and he was talking about laundering money and all this kind of stuff. So I highly recommend Stackers read it. Matt Levine, that was great stuff. But anyway, so I thought that was fascinating. You got any thoughts on it?
I mean.
No one voted upvoted this. No one threw any stats on it whatsoever.
Oh no, there were several stories that did get to the front page about it. Just didn't.
Get to the front page at all.
It did get to the front page. Not this video. I think it was. I think there were articles written that people read about it, or that people shared about it, and then Coinbase's own statement. I think that's probably the more common thing that was shared. You want to go do by Zaprank? Yeah, there you go.
This one?
Yeah. So they share in detail what information got lost, and then, you know, it's basically like KYC stuff, and then some of it masked, some of it not. Only some of their customers.
That's a big one.
But Coinbase isn't... This happened, I think, I forget. There have been several exchanges that this has happened to, and if you listen to any of those podcasts with June Seth where... He's interviewing people who do this professionally where they'll take this data, they'll buy it from people, and then they'll try to social engineer people. This is, you know, there's tons of these databases out there. Several of them that probably, several exchanges have probably been hacked and not even known it.
But this is, I don't know. I guess this is more serious because it is Coinbase. It's like the biggest exchange. It's also... You know, it's also a ticker on Wall Street. He kind of came out there, like, you know, doing his very like stern kind of thing. You typically don't see him do that type of thing. I was very shocked that he went that route. You know, so I don't know. I was just kind of shocked through the whole thing. I'm surprised more people aren't talking about this. Because it's the biggest story of the week. I was just like, because like the people that are going to get hurt are going to be the people that are going to get hacked through this. And the fact that he's not trying to recover this data is alarming.
Well, you just can't recover. He could pay the ransom, but there's no guarantee that the data doesn't exist elsewhere.
It doesn't matter. He should pay the ransom. He needs to get that data back. Like, yeah, well, I know what you're saying. Like he does, but like he needs to figure out like obviously what happened.
Well, I think he does know.
And but he needs to retrieve some of the data.
Why retrieve it? I don't get. Because if you retrieve the data, it doesn't mean that the data doesn't exist somewhere else.
I mean, there's always something called entrapment. You could send out, say you're gonna pay them and then entrap them. Have you ever seen a movie called Ransom? That's literally what they do. They kidnap the kid. They kidnap his kid, and then Mel Gibson goes and says, "I'm not going to pay the ransom." And they literally say, "Oh, I am going to pay," and they pay him, and they trap the people. I mean, didn't they do that with the rappers people that got caught stealing from all that Bitcoin from that crypto bank? I mean, I'm kind of going all over the place now, but I'm saying like they need to figure out a way to capture them to find out how much data.
Well, they put up a $20 million bounty on information that leads to their arrest. That's that they're doing what you're.
To me, it was just like I saw this, I was just like, it was handled completely wrong. Like, because you don't want to come out and say like, I'm not going to pay you and I'm hunting for you, because now all that data is probably everywhere now. Like you probably shouldn't have said anything. Obviously, you want to say like the data is out there publicly, but you don't want to. The last thing you want to do is get that data propagated everywhere, because now it's
I think
probably out there.
It might be useful to imagine that he's probably not making this decision on his own from his like bedroom, and he probably has a group of people skilled in thinking about these types of things and understand. You don't think so? You think he's he's running Coinbase? I mean,
yes. I think he's very I would have to say no, hear me out. Okay. I have a good reason to believe this, because if you are at a point where you are getting hacked like this, at that level where they're like cuz look how much information he's holding.
But that's all all exchanges do that. This is why I have the feelings I have about KYC, is because everyone who is KYCing is giving all of this information to these companies. That's what they hold. If you have an exchange account and you've KYC'd into them, they have that information. It's not just Coinbase. Coinbase is the biggest target, so they're more likely to have this happen to them. But I don't know exactly what I would just guess that. They had a lot of internal debate about this, and probably very skilled experts both in ransoms and negotiations. I don't think they're making decisions like we would as plebs about this type of thing. I would guess they've thought through all the scenarios.
I've never
relatively
given,
well.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I've never given Coinbase my information, but I think it got to me somehow, because I got a suspicious text message last week
saying they're from Coinbase.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And then EK wants to say the FBI does not recommend paying ransom to not incentivize more cyber attacks. That makes sense.
Might just be a deep state, though.
A what?
The deep state. It might be what the deep state.
Deep state. Just,
deep state wants you to think.
We haven't said deep state yet in the episode. So.
I don't know. I guess it's easier for me to armchair quarterback this, but I think it was handled completely wrong. Personally, I don't think you come out there and Mel Gibson this thing and say I'm not paying the ransom. Like, especially from that, because I think you're right. I think he does have people around him now. But even the way he shot the video, like from like that kind of angle.
Yeah, he should have been speaking in Chinese, right?
No, he did it from like a very kind of like a.
He was like, showing his cards.
No, he just did it. Like, it was almost like he's listening to a lot of PR and like marketing people, as opposed to actually listening to security experts or like, I don't know.
I would guess he's listening to all of them. He's a billionaire and there's billions of dollars on the line for that company. If they handle it wrong, I would guess they I would guess they spent a crap ton of time thinking about how to shoot that video and the right way to do it and what to say and what's the right approach to dealing with.
It is a pretty bad problem, though. I mean, it's a pretty bad.
But Keon, do you realize though what he did though? He basically just hung himself because now all that information's out there. Like,
it was already out there. So,
yeah, I guess, to me, so I can understand this clear. You're saying as soon as they capture that data, they already lost it.
Yeah,
I'm saying I don't think they lost it. They should have tried to entrap them by saying we're going to pay you the ransom behind the scenes.
Maybe they did.
And then entrapped them.
Maybe this is where it got to this point where they realized they weren't going to be able to entrap them, and so this is the next best thing. We don't know that.
Yeah, we'll see.
You don't know what you don't know.
We'll see, but dude, that's a lot of information.
This is why you have Mike.
If you're on Coinbase or if you're still using Coinbase, you might want to think about,
just don't use Coinbase.
Other options.
Yeah, but any other option that KYCs you has this very problem that Coinbase has. That's and true. Probably worse security around it.
Well, maybe.
Or better. Maybe they have better ones. But we don't really know because they don't really tell you.
Because that would not be secure.
Yeah. See.
So what they did is, what they got was your name, address, phone number, email, your social security number.
Mast.
Your mass social security number. But they got the last four digits, which would be easy to guess the rest of it. Your bank account numbers. Your mass bank account numbers. Your government ID images. Well, that's important. So now there you go. There's that. Your account data balances. So they know how much Bitcoin you have. Your limited corporate data. So they know if you have whatever LLC, C Corp, all that kind of stuff. What they didn't get was your login credentials and your private keys. Do they have private keys on Coinbase? I didn't know that.
I think they have their own wallet. So maybe that's why the private keys are relevant. But yeah, if you're using a custodial Coinbase account.
Any ability to move or access customer funds and access to Coinbase Prime accounts, access to Coinbase customer accounts. So what they're going to do about it is we will reimburse customers who were tricked into sending funds to the attacker.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to make them whole. If your data was accessed, you have your email. That maybe that's what you got, Jana. Look, did you receive an email from that?
She's not a customer, though.
No, I didn't receive an email. I received a text message, and it was a
text message. Yeah.
Extra
customer safeguards. Flagged accounts now require additional ID checks for large withdrawals. How are they not? Oh, man, this is so crazy. For further securing support operations, opening a new support hub in the U.S. So I guess they had outside U.S. support hubs. So yeah. Like in India or something?
Of course.
But most customer support is external to the United States. And that doesn't mean their security is necessarily weaker.
It's just
easier to bribe, maybe?
I think it's harder.
It's just a fact of scaling. You need to.
I would guess it's harder to enforce certain security practices in a facility that you cannot visit and observe and send, your CTO to.
And breathe down the neck of.
Yeah. Yeah. Have the threat of U.S. law.
We have hardened defenses, so we are increasing our investment in insider threat detection. Automated responses simulating similar security threats and staying transparent. Wait, were they not transparent before?
They said staying transparent.
Oh, so they're staying. Okay.
Seems like
they then we're responding to the criminals. We're $20 million reward fund. So instead of paying the $20 million ransom, we're establishing a $20 million reward fund. So it's a bounty. There you go. Tracing stolen funds, working with industry partners. We've tagged the attackers' addresses so the authorities can track and work to recover assets. So, working with law enforcement. So, does that mean Michael Saylor's information is on there, you think? Because he's using Coinbase, right? Or yeah. I guess he would be Coinbase Prime or something. So, his information would it be on there?
Oh, I would bet he's like not even, he has like a personal,
there's a guy at Coinbase that works for him.
That works, yeah. Yeah, that is only works with MicroStrategy.
Okay. Probably. Well, that's good. Good for MicroStrategy, cuz I mean, that'd be really sad if Michael Saylor's information's out there. You know. That'd be really bad for him.
I don't think that would be that bad for him.
You don't think so if his information was out there like that?
No, I think everyone knows the address of his mansion after his
New Year's Eve party. They don't know his social security number, though.
But that's not a social security number. It's the last four digits. So.
If you're Michael Saylor right now, are you rethinking your relationship with Coinbase?
No.
Oh, okay. I would.
I mean, where else is... He should... I mean, they have so much Bitcoin, they should probably be looking into their own custody solution, but I just think they'd rather... pass the buck to,
yeah. I mean, I guess if you saw this face, oh, hang on. If you saw this face, you'd probably be like, yeah.
What?
You'd probably be like, yeah, I feel safe. Do you feel safer? Would you feel safer if he was guarding your Bitcoin, Keon?
No. But I'm, you know, I'm me.
All right. That's all I got. That was my two stories. Cool. Let's jump into the top. The top Cowboys, baby.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Jana, you can read the top Cowboys.
We got somebody who's hiding, but I know who it is.
Who is it?
I can't say. I'm protecting their information.
How do you know who it is? I don't even know who it is.
Process of deducing.
Whoa. What is that?
It's very technical. I don't think it's for everybody.
Yeah.
Don't, and then we have Coob, and then we have Undisciplined, and then we have 117, and then we have Blockchain Boog, and then we have Gray Ruby, and then we have another hiding guy. But where am I?
Let's see.
Am I up there? There's EK. EK is number 17. 17 is a great number.
How many days? 74 days?
Dang.
Rising in the ranks.
Yeah. No, because I just lost my streak.
Wait, Keon, 7 or 19 days?
I've like been consistently losing my streak after 3 days.
Where is yours at? Let's see.
For like 4 months. Can't go past 3.
Oh, wow. Look at
that. 44? There's me. I'm 44.
Can't receive. Wait, what? 3 days. Oh, wow.
But I have had a 37-day long streak before. I just want to say that.
Okay. Congrats.
Got max 2 days.
Oh, Peter Todd. Look at that. 1 day.
Hey.
There we go.
So that was really fun. We did it. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
Let's jump into, I think that's it. We don't got any,
we don't have any found comments?
No, that's it.
Oh, man. What did we do wrong?
We didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, why wouldn't they send us?
Isn't there another list to look at?
Nope, that's it.
Top stackers.
This is all we do.
I thought there was two lists.
This is it.
One of them is more interesting than the other.
Keon took out the, what do you call it?
Top stackers.
He took out the top stackers.
He took it out?
I didn't take it out. I just said
he didn't want to do it anymore.
I didn't like it. I think we do the Cowboys. It's the best segment in the world. And why do we, there's no second best, so why even bother with another?
Okay.
Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Shit, I don't know. Probably nothing. That's a reliable bet.
You're not going to Woozy's party?
Didn't know Woozy was having a party, but that makes sense because I don't really know Ben that well. But I'll probably do my normal stuff. How about you? You're going to Woosley's party?
No, not going. I think me and EK are going to go watch Final Destination.
I think we all need to go to Steak and Shake.
No, it doesn't exist, dude. So I'm there's not one.
Really?
Not in Texas.
No, so there used to be one, south.
Marty went to one. Where did he go?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he posted it. He tweeted. Did he get somebody else to go for him?
Maybe Logan drove to go get him. There is one on South 35, but apparently somebody said it's not there anymore.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hadn't looked that far into this plan yet.
There's one in Vegas. Or there's several. Oh, there's like three go. In Vegas.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody said yesterday there's one in San Antonio, but I'm not going to drive to San Antonio for a burger. Okay. What are you doing this weekend, Jenna?
Well, Betty I guess Hoggle. I'm not going to Steak and Shake. But
what's up? What's up?
Are you taking off? Okay. We'll see you later, dude. No, you're fine.
Oh, good.
Later, dude. Be safe. We had we had Benny Hoddle visiting from Tampa.
Bye-bye.
Oh, go back. We're going back.
I don't remember. I'm going to try to get out on the paddleboard, like I was saying.
Cool.
Yep. And then there's an affordable art fair.
Affordable art fair. Where's that at?
Happening this weekend at Palmer. Same place Bitcoin Plus Plus just happened.
Event Center.
Do they call it the affordable art?
It's the affordable art fair.
I always go to the record thing they have there.
I asked your wife if she wanted to go.
Oh, what did she say?
She said, what time?
Oh. That seems like a reasonable response. Yeah, so probably. Art fair. She loves this stuff.
Right there.
Right there. 2025 Affordable Art Fair.
Oh, rejected. Oh.
So, might check that out. I don't know.
Featuring 55 local, national, international galleries all under one roof.
Affordable is under $10,000.
Affordable is under $10,000, right?
I guess that's what that means.
Oh, so, I probably won't be shopping, but I will be looking.
Oh, that's cool. Well, maybe you'll meet some cool artists.
Yeah. There like you go.
This one.
For sure.
Oh, wow.
No doubt.
It's a nice composition.
It is a nice composition. That's not really that. That's
whoa.
Pretty.
How's that?
Yeah, so anyway, it should be interesting. I saw the word sex crossed out on that paper. That was funny. I think they're local, but they're also international. So it's like, it's just a big...
Look at that one, Keon, for your office.
Yeah.
You're into cowboys.
I mean, why not?
Look at that one. The world needs more cowboys. Oh, cowgirls.
Yeah.
You should totally get that one.
I should? Why don't you get it?
No, for you like cowboy stuff.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. You think Ross Ulbricht is selling his paintings there?
Oh. He's selling some stuff.
I know. He's selling them.
He's selling some stuff. Did you see that car from Ross? He's selling some stuff.
I thought I saw something
with his paintings.
Somebody posted about it.
Yeah, Scare City. On Scare City.
Ross.
I didn't take a look at that yet.
Selling paintings, something, right?
Well, I think it was also like his belongings too.
That was
last week.
Why does it just default a week? There he goes.
Ross Ulbricht collection.
Oh, there he goes.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh, Ross.
When did he make this in prison?
Yeah, in prison, dude.
Oh.
Look at that.
He's also selling it as like ID cards.
Gorgeous.
Wow, this kind of looks like a Picasso.
It does.
Yeah, look at it. It's like extra hand.
How did he get the ink?
The paint?
Yeah,
paint. It's probably like blood and, you know, like other excretion.
Maybe this is poop right here. Green poop. He's like, I'm just going to eat broccoli for a week.
The hell kind of question is that?
Or he just got broccoli itself. Maybe he didn't have to wait for it to
just poop out green poop.
Come out, you know?
Oh, look at that chair. I like this one.
Yeah, I think they're pretty. I think they're pretty awesome.
They're pretty awesome.
If they were cheap, I'd buy them. But they're inevitably going.
These are
going
to go
worth a lot.
Bit to heaven. Yeah,
I like. I put them on my OnlyFans wish list. If anyone out there who's
wants love to that see cloud my up there, those clouds up there in the window are awesome.
Dude, the guy's really talented, dude.
Yeah.
Super talented.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the video from because he's speaking, right? He's speaking at Bitcoin Conference.
I would guess he's not going to be.
He's not speaking, but he's having like a dinner or something.
Oh, I thought he was speaking.
He's having like an event. It was like a welcome back Ross kind of like dinner thing.
You should take a picture with him, Keon.
I bet RFK will be there.
That's cool. I left Arizona, the state where I was in prison.
Oh, there's a collection at the top.
That means downsizing and turning the page or decide auction. Some items. Oh, yeah, you have to log in.
Oh, nice.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, the sleeping bag, the locker lock.
Oh, dude, these are 5 million.
Oh, he's selling his shirts and stuff, too?
Yeah, people.
Jeez. Stuff.
Okay, it's only at what is that, 36 million sats? That's not, I don't know, it's two.
Ends in 12 days.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow, that's not still that bad. Sats.
I thought it'd be higher.
I mean, that's
you know, people are going to wait, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, toward the
people
end.
Are totally going to wait. Disconnect. Oh, wow. That's not bad, 2 million sats.
It's a pretty recent one. October 23.
People are waiting, though. You know, like once it gets down to like 3 days, people will start making their bids. That's what you do, right?
I don't know.
Oh, look at this one.
I didn't see that
one. Oh, wow. This one's heavy.
That one's awesome.
I like how he has a style, though.
Yeah, for sure. Looks great.
Which is this one? Oh, 1 million sats.
There's evidence of the brush stroke, but you can't actually, like, he must have used like a sponge or something because it's like not.
I wonder if this is all he's ever created, though. Do you know what I mean?
I also found somebody recently that has been posting their oil paintings on Stacker News that I hadn't seen before.
Isabella Art?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I read their like his bio and stuff, and it's cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Stackers, have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy some art. Keon.
Zap.